This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala hilmihi ba'da ilmihi wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathiran. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا وقال تعالى ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم صدق الله العظيم Respected علماء, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has brought us together on the basis of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And on that basis has made us all brothers unto one another. The way Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ All believers are brothers unto one another. We send salutations upon our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had always throughout his endeavors taken the greatest amount of effort and emphasize bringing people together on the basis of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This was one of the primary objectives and efforts of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers, we are, you know, in Azadwal Sharif, so I've got to be very careful today. They say in Azadwal Sharif, when you give your car for service, then normally when you go to other places, you get a perfume or you get an air freshener. Here you get a taweez and you get a tasbih. Yeah? So here it has to be very careful with regard to what I say. But be as it may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the discourse beneficial to me and beneficial to yourself. Brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us different. Allah ta'ala has created us different in our appearance, in our features, in our capabilities. Allah has created each and every one different. And it is amazing, and this is one of the creative beauties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the miracles of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sometimes the most we can say with regard to a father and son or with regard to twin brothers, that they resemble one another. From the time of Adam alayhi salatu was salam till the day of Qiyamah, Allah has created every human being distinct, and Allah has created each and every one different. It is part of the creative miracle of Almighty Allah that not only Allah has created all of us different, the fingerprint of each and every person is different from another person. The fingerprint. And now you think, in the small thumb, how many permutations can you have? How many different permutations can you have in this one small thumbprint? But Allah, in the small thumbprint, has made every person's thumbprint different from another person from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, when He tells us about resurrecting human beings, He says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّن نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَهُ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَنَا بَنَانَا I will bring people back to life to account for their deeds. And not only will I bring you back to life to account for your deeds, I will bring you with the very same fingerprints that you had in this world. When Allah Ta'ala says that, بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا It is a very powerful statement that today we can appreciate it perhaps more than previously. Because Allah is saying, I will bring you with your same features the way you were in this world. And today, not only our thumbprints and our fingerprints is distinct from every other person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the inner portion of our eyes different from every other human being throughout the history of humanity. That is why today, previously used to have people who use fingerprints to distinguish from one person to the other, right? And people who are old will remember that when they couldn't sign, they used to put a thumbprint, a fingerprint. So they said there was one person who used to go to school and he was not doing too well. But his father was a doctor and his father was a surgeon and a very great professor. So, you know, when he used to bring back his report, the father used to put the thumbprint. So your son used to say, but father, you are a professor, you are a doctor, why don't you sign the document? Huh? Why don't you sign the document? Why don't you put a fingerprint? The father said, I'm ashamed that the people must know that I'm your father. I put a thumbprint. But I'm trying to say, Allah has made everyone. Today you go into airports, they recognize you by the inner portion of your eyes. The reason why I'm making mention of this is, despite the fact that Allah has made each and every one of us different, even within the ummah, Allah Ta'ala wants us to be like one. Allah has created each and everyone different in our appearance, in our features, in even the aspect of our fingerprints, the inner portion of our eyes. But yet Allah wants us to be like one. Al-mu'minuna ka rajul yuwahid. The entire body of all the believers throughout the world are like one single human being. Despite the fact that making each and every one of us different, Allah wants us to be like one. In ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kullu. If even one portion of the body pains, it's impossible that you can have an earache or a toothache and the entire body will not feel restless. Allah, despite the fact that He created each and everyone different, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be like one. Like one single human body, that's how the believers are supposed to be. And in this particular regard, we are supposed to be so one and united. Don't take my word for it. In the words of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the son of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who used to say, until the ummah does not become like one, Allah Ta'ala's assistance will not come upon this ummah. Until the ummah does not come like one, Allah's assistance will never come upon this ummah. And he used to say in the time of Madinah Munawwara, in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if there were 10,000 people in Medina, then every one of those 10,000 people had the support of 9,999 people. Not one ever wished him ill or wished him evil. That is why there was success in the time of Medina Munawwara, in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And until we do not reach that situation, there are various reasons why we're disunited. I'm not going into the reasons, but until we do not come to that particular situation, in the words of the son of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Allah's assistance will escape us. You will never get Allah Ta'ala's assistance. There can be no two views with regard to the importance of unity. Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah's hand is upon the united lot. Fa'innal barakata ma'al jama'ah. Allah's blessing is upon the united lot. I'm not quoting myself, I'm quoting the sayings of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's hands of assistance is with a united lot. Allah's barakah is with a united lot. Until we are not united, we are not going to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're not going to get the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this particular regard, we also, while we talk about this, we talk of the opposite. The opposite is when we are disunited, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance go away from us, we become weak. Allah in the Holy Quran says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Don't argue and dispute with one another. فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيهُكُمْ. You will become weak and you will become cowards. So today our strength is more shown to our own people than other people. Perhaps it is a sign of disunity that we have become weak and cowards, that we can show our strength to within, but we cannot show it without or outside. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not become disunited, Allah will take away your strength. And this is a reality. Because we are disunited, look at where the strength of the Muslim is. In the words of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will become like the scum on top of the flood waters. And this is the reality. And therefore, in the words of many of our great ulama, they have spoken about this. Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimahullah, in his magnum opus, in his very famous book, in with regard to the rise and falls of nations, he had said, I will never ever believe that many of the empires of the Muslim past and the glorious civilization was lost because of weakness. It was lost because of disunity. He gives the example of the Mughal Empire and many other examples. The same Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, whom I quoted, he in his last bayan, recorded bayan few days before his death, he spoke passionately about unity and spoke about the oneness of the Ummah. And brothers, if you have to hear those bayans and you have to hear the warnings with what regard, how he had sounded about disunity, it is enough for us to start opening and start thinking about this and doing something with regard to the aspect of creating unity. He says that, according to me, to create disunity in the Ummah, and this is his words, is more severe than discarding Jummah Salat. Creating disunity in the Ummah is more severe. I'm not quoting myself. Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, creating disunity in the Ummah is more severe than discarding Jummah Salat. Now, many times people will say, there's different definitions of unity, and we have to remember that unity doesn't mean that you unite with everyone. All of that I understand. But the point is, given the importance with regard to unity and the warnings against disunity, Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his way to go and tell the people about the precise night of Laylatul Qadr when two people were fighting. And because of the punishlessness of people fighting, Allah Ta'ala lifted that particular knowledge away from this ummah till the day of Qiyamah. And he said, this is the harms of fighting, that Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and Allah Ta'ala's mercy goes away. Now we can say, what is unity? What type of unity? What is the definition? Who? All of that on its place. But given the importance and given the warnings, we have to be more careful with regard to seeing we are not becoming the cause of disunity. Because in the words of hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, at a time, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive a person. And he will say, Ya Allah, why are you forgiving me? And Allah will tell him, oh my banda, one day the Ummah was at a crossroads. And you said a sentence. You brought the Ummah together. Therefore, I have forgiven you. You were on a verge. The Ummah was a crossroad. You said something and you brought the Ummah together. And Allah will put a person in Jahannam. And he will say, why are you putting me in Jahannam? He said, at a time when the Ummah was at a critical point, you said a statement and you broke the Ummah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and I will conclude this portion of the talk by saying one thing about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, who said, what an amazing thing he said. He said, the difficulty you have in creating unity, and this is such an important point, the nub of so many of our understanding of unity and disunity. When he said, the difficulty you have in creating unity, that difficulty is far less than the difficulty that will come upon you because of disunity. To create unity is very difficult. You have to tolerate. You have to bring people together. You have to listen to a lot of things. But that difficulty is far less than the difficulty that will come upon this ummah because of disunity. Now this is something that we, each and everyone, sometimes there is difference, but as far as I would like to say to people who are common and lay people, we must see to it, it's our responsibility that we do not exacerbate the disunity and exacerbate any type of further disunity in the ummah. Putting things on social media without verification, just talking about someone without any particular type of evidence. It's responsibility of each and everyone to see that to his extent, you can sometimes control what is happening throughout the world and throughout the community, but you can control what is within you. What are you doing to see to it that there is unity and see to it that you do not do anything which will create further disunity? See to it that you do not do something. And that is something that you can do. You and I, we can do that. Can we take that particular commitment that each and every one of us will try to our utmost to bring about unity and brotherhood between people, inshallah. Right. Now, one point that only comes in is the aspect that what do we do with regard to people who are different, have different opinions? And this is such an important point because this is a reality. And whether we like it or not, it's something that Maulana Abdullah also spoke about throughout wherever you go, any Muslim community in South Africa or any other where people are always asking you. But Maulana, the ulama are differing, professionals are differing. What do you and I, what must we do? It's a common question. Whether we want to accept that question or we don't want to accept that question, it is on the lips of everyone. Wherever I go, for example, people always bring up this aspect. Well, now what do we do? Now let me just give you some examples and let me tell you what for example we can do. Firstly, Allah Ta'ala has created people, and everything Allah has created people differing. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ created the heavens and earth. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala created different languages. Allah Ta'ala created different colors. It is the beauty of Allah Ta'ala's creation that He created different colors. If you go into a garden, you go into the rose garden, right? And you see one type of flower, one color of flower, will you find greater joy in that garden if there is one color, flowers of one color, or will you find greater joy when there is flowers of different colors? Hopefully you will say when there's flowers of different colors, there is more. In a similar way, Allah in our minds, our mental capabilities is also the sign of Allah Ta'ala's creative power. The way He has created different colors, the way He has created different flowers, the way He has created different languages, He has created each and everyone's minds different. He has created our thinking patterns different. He has created our intellectual capabilities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it differently. And just as an orchard is more beautiful with the beautiful flowers and the different color flowers you have, the intellectual world becomes more stimulating by different opinions that you have, by different people's intellect coming to the fore. So when there is difference of opinion, sometimes what it brings is it brings different solutions to the fore. It brings different opinions to the open. And that is part of the beauty. Instead of looking at it in a negative way, it is part of the beauty. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in his most beautiful kitab, Ikhtilaf-e-Ummat, you know, and Ikhtilaf-e-Ummat and Hudud-e-Ikhtilaf, something of that sort, which has also been translated in English, he makes mention, he said, complete unanimity and complete consensus can only happen in two occasions. I want you to listen to this. Complete consensus can only happen when people don't have intellect and people don't have an opinion. That's one. And the second thing is when they don't have honesty and integrity. So complete consensus will happen, according to Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when he said there are two things. Either people don't have intellect, don't have a thinking capacity, and they don't have honesty and integrity. So if they have intellect and they have thoughts and they have opinions, then you will have different thoughts, different opinions, so there will be difference of opinion. And the second thing he said about honesty and integrity, and this is very important. Why did he say honesty and integrity? The reason is sometimes you have an opinion. Sometimes you have a thought. You feel that this thought is good for the ummah, but you are dishonest, or you are frightened to say that thing because of you don't have honesty and integrity to tell people this is my view. See, whenever there is people of intellect and people of honesty, there is going to be a difference of opinion. Now this is very important. So therefore, let me tell you from this, from the words of what Maulana Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh said, if for example there are ulama or there are organizations who feel strongly about an issue, and they feel strongly that the benefit of the ummah is in this, or they feel that given the situation we find ourselves in interacting with people, this is what we feel is, we have, this is what we need to do, then it will be dishonest. It will be disingenuous for them to remain quiet because of the fear of pamphleteering. It will be disingenuous and dishonest for them to keep quiet. If they feel they need to do something which is in the public benefit or the benefit of the ummah because of what they see the halat of the ummah, then it will be dishonest for them by this words of Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali for them to keep quiet because of fear of what other people are going to say. This is the reality with regard to. So diversity in opinions in religion, I'm not talking about the lay people, I'm talking about the of the ulama and the learned, and I will come to the awam and the lay people also. Now this particular aspect, that there is going to be difference of opinion in religion on subdivisional issues, not on fundamentals, not on aqidah, not on beliefs. There is no scope for difference of opinion in fundamentals. Therefore, I read once about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He said an amazing thing. He said, if someone comes to you and say that I'm a prophet after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, billah, or there is a prophet after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you ask him, what is your dalil? What is your evidence? Never mind that person, for you to ask him evidence, it is akin to your kufr. How can you ask a dalil and evidence on something as fundamental as the last prophethood of our beloved, the last Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being the last prophet? There is no aspect with regard to, you know, this, that there is any difference of opinion on fundamentals. Whether it be the fundamentals with regard to the integrity of the Sahaba, whether it be with regard to the aspect of the finality of our beloved Nabi, we're not talking about that. We are talking of subdivisional issues. We're talking about furu'iyat, things that are with regard to, for example, on matters of fiqh, right? Now, in this particular matter, many times people sometimes foolishly say, we must bury all the school of thoughts and make it into one. This is a foolish statement. Or they say that we must put all the four mazahib one side and must only have one mazhab. Why must we have two? Why must we have some people making rafayadin while some people not making rafayadin? What is the need for us to do so? We must do everything one. And this is neither possible, neither desirable. There is always going to be difference of opinion in terms of those aspects which are not fundamental, which are subdivisional issues. Things which are with regard to fiqh. Things which are regard to those aspects where, for example, the Quran and Hadith has been silent. There are many aspects where the Quran and Hadith, especially with contemporary issues, are silent. Let's face the fact that living in a democracy is something new. Living in a country where the first clause of the Constitution says that all religions are equal. Whereas you and I, we believe in the deen inda Allah al-Islam. The deen in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala is Islam. This particular aspect, the Quran and Hadith, is silent. How do we deal and stay in this country when the constitution of the country in which states that this is the situation, whereas you and I believe is differently. Aqidah, we believe differently. But yet we have to stay here. We have got no other option. How do we stay here? In this particular matter, there is nothing that is clear cut from the Quran and Hadith. Now we have to, ulama will differ. How do we stay in this country? On what basis do we stay in this country? Do this particular aspect, there's going to be difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Because it's a matter, there is no clear-cut guidance that do this and do that from the Quran and Hadith. So in this particular matter, there is going to be difference of opinion. Sometimes there is great wisdom in the difference of opinion. Wallahi al-Azim, those who are in the know, and those ulama tell you, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, who is known as Umar al-Thani, his integrity, his justice has been universally accepted throughout Islamic history. He used to say, it never used to give me pleasure when I heard that the Sahaba Ikram didn't have a difference of opinion. When I heard they had a difference of opinion, it gave me happiness because now there's accommodation. There's at least a little bit of accommodation. Right? Now, for example, we all go to Makkah, right? In Makkah, for example, according to Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, I don't want to go into the details. Let me just say that it is sometimes part and parcel that is good to find out that there is difference of opinion, because sometimes you might have a situation where you might have to follow those different opinions. If there was no difference of opinion, there was no accommodation. So this is an aspect that we have to keep in mind with regard. So this difference of opinion will be there in spite of the best of intentions, it will be there. How do we deal with it? Now let us look at how did the Sahaba Ikram, How did our pious predecessors deal with difference of opinion? Then I will come to the reasons why there is difference of opinions amongst ulama and the pious people. And then what do you and I do? Right? So one of the aspects is the very famous example of difference of opinion. I will make it very brief, and this come to in the time after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, after one of the battles of the Battle of the Trench, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt the battle is over, and Hazrat Jibril alayhi salatu wasallam came and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why are you taking your armor off? You have to still go and deal with the Jews of Bani Qurayza. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Hazrat Jibril alayhi salatu wasallam had said, you must go to Qurayza, right? And go and see to it that you read, you know, your Asr or Maghrib that was there, and in this particular way that the Sahaba went. Now one of them took the statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam literally. And they went there even if the Asr Salat became Qaza. And they said, let us go. And the other one said, no, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam meant go as soon as possible. Doesn't mean that you must make Qaza of your Salat. Let us read our Salat, then we will get there. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, go and read Asr in Bani Quraiz. I think that was more or less, I think, what was it? And some of them took it literally, even if their namaz became Qaza, and the others read namaz on the road, and then they reached it. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't in any way say any one of them is wrong. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, just kept quiet, and in a way, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam approved of both the views, despite the fact that they did something differently. And they took the statement of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they understood it differently. In the time of the Sahaba Ikram, there were many occasions that they were different. Not only difference of opinion, there was that difference of opinion led to war. But despite that, there was respect amongst one another. Maulana gave the example with regard to one, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala passed away. You know, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala passed away, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala started crying. His wife said, you were crying, but you were fighting with him. He said, you don't understand, this man was a faqih. He was the one who understood the sayings of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than any of us now alive. When one of the companions of Ali radiallahu anhu came in the court of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu told him, you know, Sif, tell me, give me the qualities of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, please excuse me, because he felt that he's going to give the qualities of Ali radiallahu anhu in front of someone like Hazrat Muawiyah, when the two had a difference of opinion which even led to a war. And when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu insisted, he gave such a touching and glowing description of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is in the books of history. I don't have the time to go into it. Such a remarkable, you know, way of describing Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he brought the entire majlis to tears, including Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who started crying so much that his beard became wet with his tears. This is despite the fact that they had difference of opinion. Among the imams, there was difference of opinion, you know. And yet, despite those difference of opinion, they had such respect that you can't believe it. Let us give you an example. One example which I like, which is such an amazing thing, which we can take such great lessons. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi was of the view that if a person bleeds, his wuzu breaks. Right? So someone came and asked him once, what an amazing thing he asked him, and look at his reply. He said, Imam Ahmad, would you read namaz behind a person? Would you read namaz behind a person who bleeds and does not make wuzu and he stands as an imam? You believe the moment blood comes out, your wuzu breaks. You know of another person who, after bleeding, does not make wuzu and he make imamat. Will you read namaz behind him? When your belief and your view is that the one who bleeds, his wuzu is broken. What did he reply? He said, are you telling me I must not read namaz behind Imam Malik? And I must not read namaz behind Sayyid ibn Musayyib? Are you telling me I must not read namaz behind Imam Malik and Imam Sayyid ibn Musayyib, who held the view that bleeding does not break wuzu? He was saying, are you telling me I must not read namaz? I will read namaz behind them. Despite the fact that my view is that bleeding breaks wuzu, and their view is that by bleeding your wuzu doesn't break. This is a respect that they had for one another. Huh? This is a respect that they have with regard to one another. in terms of how many different types of situation there is. Qazi Iyaz rahmatullah alayhi makes mention that Imam Layth rahmatullah alayhi saw Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi one day perspiring. Monday perspiring. And he said, Imam Malik, why are you perspiring? He said, I just come out of a debate with Imam Ahmad, with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has this intellect. He had such an intellect. And he showed, you know, a pillar in the masjid. He said, if he wants to prove that this pillar is made of gold or made of a particular metal, he will be able to prove it by his brilliance in terms of his intellect. Oh, a passerby says that I saw Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad, Imam Wanifa rahmatullah alayhi discussing matters of fiqh for much of the night. And they discussed it in such a way that there was no arguments, there was no disputes. They discussed it. And yet, when they came out and you look at the amount of difference of opinion in the fiqh views, it is something that is well established in the books of fiqh. Now, this is a difference of opinion. Let's look at the, you see, amongst the situations, they say, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Wanifa rahmatullah alayhi, they were contemporaries. Right? And thereafter, the day Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi passed away, that's the day Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi was born. So normally when we were students, Maulana Abdullah will tell you that we were roommates, and one of our roommates was Mufti Rizvi from Sri Lanka, who was a Shafi. So we used to have many, many arguments. So one of the arguments we used to have was, now, why did it happen that the day Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi passed away, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi was born? So the Hanafis used to say, he was frightened to come out until Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi passed away. Anyway, whatever it was, and Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi were contemporaries. There are some remarkable incidents with regard to the two. I'm not going to go into it because we have lack of time. Then amongst our akabirs, some of the things are quite amazing with regard to some of the incidents. I won't narrate, I've made mention of many, but I'm not going to relate all of these incidents. Just to give you an example, sometimes how there is. Amongst our kabirs, there was Shah Ahmad Shaheed and Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali. Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali was the junior. Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali was a senior. During the course of them, they had a difference of opinion. So one day they were debating their difference of opinion. And many a times there used to be this type of difference of opinion. You know, one Maulana Ibrahim Mia, rahmatullah alayhi, one day told me of an incident. He said that he was sitting in Binuri town, in the place where we were, and he said a person came. And he came into the madrasa and he said, I want to go to the Darul Ifta. I want to go and ask a masla. Take me to and show me where the muftis is. So the person who was in the office asked him, he said, what masla you want to ask? What masla you want to ask? He said, I want to ask, is prawns jais or not? Huh? If you want to know my view, give me dawat. Right? So he asked, what do you want to know? You want to know, he said, is prawns jais or not? So he said, now tell me what you want. Do you want a permissible verdict or a haram verdict? So he said, I want a permissible verdict. So you see, there are two muftis sitting there. One is Mufti Abdul Salam from Bangladesh. He says he's permissible. And there is Mufti Wali Hasan Sahib, he says he's not permissible. Which way you want to go down? So this is the difference of opinion with regard to it. So Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali and Shah Ismail Shaheed were sitting debating the issue. Now these were two muftis who were in one Darul Ifta and they had this difference of opinion. Right? Now in this whole particular aspect, during the course of that, Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali said, I must ask for forgiveness. I must ask for forgiveness. He said, why are you asking for forgiveness? He said, you are my senior. I can't debate this issue with you. I should have just accepted what you have said. Huh? Do you know what Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali said? He said, it is only the word of a prophet that is accepted without a debate. It is only the word of a prophet that is accepted without a debate. You have committed shirk in prophethood by saying, you cannot debate with me. And you cannot express your opinion with me. You have committed shirk in prophethood by saying you cannot bring your view in front of me. Anyone who feels that his view is such that cannot be debated, he is claiming to be equivalent to the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not what I'm saying. I'm saying what our akabirin are saying. It's sometimes very, good to relate what our Akabirin is saying, but sometimes it might become difficult to live according to what the Akabirin have said. Right? This is the aspect with regard to, this aspect. Shah, in a book that has been published in Azadwal also, there's a Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in one of his bayans, Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that a person stayed in the company of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali for a long period of time. And when he was going, he said, "Give me advice." So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali said, "Don't ever claim to be Allah and don't ever claim to be the Nabi of Allah." So he got a shock. He said, "Sheikh, I stayed in your company for 10 years. How am I going to make a claim that I am Allah? How am I going to make a claim that I am the Nabi of Allah?" So he said, "Only Allah's word is truth. And if you ever say and claim that I am the only one who speaks truth, you are claiming divinity. And only the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala's words is such that it cannot be debated, it cannot be argued against, and it is always truth. And if ever you claim that my word cannot be contradicted, you have claimed prophethood of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi told his student this. Then example, Maulana gave many examples with regard to Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi. I'm getting like there's only one more page left now. So this page is the longest. There are many examples of Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali and Maulana Hussain Madni Rahmatullah Ali. While doing reading on this, one of the most amazing, amazing incidents I came across was this incident of a person by the name of Munshi Nurul Hassan. And although you might be tired, just take out time to listen to this incident. Munshi Nurul Hassan was a Khalifa and he was very close to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Not sure whether Khalifa, but he was very close to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. One day he came to the Khanqa of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali and he said something to one of the attendants. And he said to the attendant's name was Suleiman. And he said, "Suleiman, I'm very worried. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali speaks about the Muslim League, glowingly about the Muslim League. But when I attend many of the meetings of the Muslim League, they speak bad about Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, Sheikhul Islam Maulana Madni. And Maulana Madni is a saint of Allah, he's a wali of Allah. How can they speak bad about Maulana Madni?" Suleiman, feeling that Maulana Thanvi and Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali had a difference of opinion, he said, "Since when is Maulana Madni a saint? Shaitan also was a saint." He used this word, "Shaitan also was a saint." Sometimes you see, these words can become, we can say words, and sometimes we say words to hurt people. So they said the husband and wife were fighting, right? And as they were fighting, they were very in a bad mood, and they were going past, and they were driving. So now when they were driving, I won't say who said it, I won't say the husband said it or the wife said it, I'm just saying one of them said it. As they were driving, they crossed the donkeys. They said, "Relatives." They said, "Your relatives." So the other spouse said, "Yes, my in-laws." So the Suleiman, the attendant, and sometimes the khuddam, they create more problems and more fitnas than anything else. Those who are close to the Akabirins. Not always. Some of them are very sincere. Allah Ta'ala reward them for their barakah and for their khidmat. So Suleiman said, so Munshi Nurul Hassan became very, very angry. So the next day, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's majlis, he wanted to bring it up, but he couldn't get the courage. So one person asked the question and he found the courage to be able to say it. Someone asked Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, "Maulana, give us an example and say, when we go to Deoband to Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni, there is great amount of accommodation. Maulana Madni is not very strict. So you can come when you want to go into the Khanqa, you are allowed to do whatever you want to do. And there is a certain degree of accommodation and there is wus'at in terms of doing things. Here in your Khanqa, there is great amount of strictness. You have to get up at this time. You have to eat at this time. This is the limitation. This time you have to come in. You can't come in after this time. There is great amount of limitation." Hazrat, why is there such a difference? So Maulana Thanvi gave an amazing answer. He says that an ocean can accommodate much. How much filth is thrown into an ocean? And in an ocean can accommodate much. Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali is an ocean. He can accommodate much. He can accommodate much. I'm a small cup. A small cup can't accommodate much. An ocean can accommodate filth. We all know that the sewage of everything goes into the ocean. It accommodates everything. Put that little bit of filth in a small cup, what will happen? So Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, an ocean can accommodate much. Maulana Madni is an ocean. I'm a small cup. I can't accommodate. These are my limitations. These are my restrictions. Live according to it if you can. Otherwise, go to Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. You know. So he said, this Munshi Nul Hasan said, I got an opportunity. I said, Hazrat, one of your attendants said such and such a thing. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali called the khadims, called one of them and said, catch him by his ears and take him out of my majlis. Catch him by his ears and take him out of my majlis. He removed him from his majlis. Thereafter, many people of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali came to intercede. Hazrat, he was such a good khadim of yours. He was such a good attendant. Bring him closer to you. Allow him to come back. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, I will only allow him if he goes and write and get a written letter of forgiveness from Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. He went to Maulana Madni. Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali wrote to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, I have forgiven him, you also forgive him. I have forgiven him, you also forgive him. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali heard this and said, I'm not satisfied with this. Did you tell Maulana Madni what you said about him? Go and bring a letter that Maulana Madni has forgiven you after he has heard what you had said about him. Then I will accept your forgiveness. He went back to Maulana Madni. Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali said, I heard what he said about me. I have forgiven him. Maulana, you also forgive him. This is where these two great people who had such great difference of opinion about the formation of Pakistan, and this is what their situation was. So we have this. Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali writes, whenever there is a difference of opinion and it's kept within its limits, there will be no fitna. Maulana Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali writes, wherever there is a difference of opinion and it's kept within its limits, there will be no fitna. And if there is fitna in difference of opinion, that means the limits have not been ordained. And the limits have not been kept. So now in this particular regard, we can carry on, my dear respected brothers. Why is there difference of opinion? Why is there difference of opinion? You'll ask the question, that why is there difference of opinion? Sometimes difference of opinion occurs because people have different temperaments. Right? So let me give you an example. In the time after the Battle of Badr, when they were captives of the Battle of Badr, Nabi Karim Sallallahu asked the Sahaba, what must we do with them? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu took two views. What was the view of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Ya Rasulullah, this is the first time, the first battle of truth and falsehood. Kill every one of those captives. And not only kill them, the one who is closest to the captive, he must kill him. To show people that there is no blood relationship in terms of haqq and truth. And truth and falsehood. We are on haqq even if it be against our own family members. So if the person comes from Makkah and he is the muhajir who is here, the closest person must kill him. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala also had the same opinion. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, these are our people who stayed with us in Makkah. Have mercy upon them. Show kindness to them. Show compassion to them. Inshallah, many of them will one day become Muslims. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked that view. And it so happened. It so happened that many of them at the time who were the captives, when they went back, when they had a time to reflect, when they saw the truth of Islam, they saw the compassion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they became Muslims. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the first view. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُقِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do you know what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? And I want you to listen to this. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has created people differently in their temperaments. Oh Umar, your example is like Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he made dua to Almighty Allah. رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْتُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمِ. Oh Allah, destroy the wealth of Fir'aun. Put a seal on his heart. He must not bring iman until he sees your punishment. Oh Umar, you are like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And oh Oh Umar, you are like Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, who made dua, Rabbi la tadhar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara. Oh Allah, don't keep one single disbeliever alive in this world, complete and eradicate and destroy every one of them. Your example is like Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. And oh Abu Bakr, your example is like Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. In tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibaduk, wa in taghfir lahum fa'innaka antal azizul hakim. You know, he made dua to Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, if you punish my followers, you are entitled to punish them. If you forgive them, you have the capacity also to forgive them. You are like Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Oh Abu Bakr, you are like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, who made dua, فَمَنْ تَبْيَعْنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَسَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Oh Allah, amongst my followers, those who follow me, you know, they are those who followed me. They are Muslims. وَمَنْ عَسَانِي, but even those who disobeyed me, they are still, you are غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Ibrahims are like that. Inna Ibrahim wala halibun awwahum munib. So you don't blame Ibrahim. Now sometimes people blame me for nothing. Ibrahims are supposed to be compassionate. So why are you taking it zero? Inna Ibrahim wala halibun awwahum munib. Ibrahim is compassionate. So look at what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He didn't say, Umar, you are wrong. Abu Bakr, you are wrong. Oh, Abu Umar, you are like Nuh alayhi salam. You are like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, Abu Bakr, you are like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. You are like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah has created people different in temperaments. Sometimes the difference is with regard to difference in perspectives. You know, many of you elder people will remember, you know, that Maulana Palan Haqqani came here too. And many times when he came here, he used to give some good examples. Right? So one of the examples he gave was, you blindfold someone and you put the four or five people and you blindfold them and you put them in front of an elephant. And you tell them, all right, touch this whole particular aspect and tell us what you have seen. Right? So one of them will come and say, I saw a tree trunk. I saw something like a tree trunk because he must have touched the legs of the elephant. Someone will say, I saw something like a whoop. He must have touched the trunk. Or the tail. Or someone must have, you know, and everyone comes and said, I think it was a whoop. Someone said, I thought it was a trunk. Someone said, I thought it was a huge, big structure. Now, will you say anyone is wrong? He saw things according to his perspective. He's not necessarily wrong. He just saw things according to his own perspective. Now, for example, many a times people see things differently. Now, the people of Azad will see things differently. Right? They say, yeah, if you ask a youngster for a date, he gives you kajur. So, yeah, things are a little different, right? But the other people who see things differently in terms of the perspective they see. So, for example, let me give you an example. Mufti Taqi Usmani, in a bayan that he gave to learned and ulama, he gave two beautiful examples, talking of perspectives. One was the example of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, at a time when the Shuddi Tahrik, the Shuddi was a particular thing where they went village to village in India and they tried to bring people away and make them murtad away from Islam. So the news came to Deoband that one village has become murtad. They have left their religion. They have left Islam. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali went with the delegation to go and see that village. When he came to that village, he asked the people, we have heard that you have forsaken Islam. How could you forsake Islam when your fathers and your forefathers and you people were born as Muslims? How could you forsake Islam? They said, where have we forsaken Islam? Hum to Muslim hai. Hum to Musalman hai. Hum to taziya nikale. We take out taziyas. We take out taziyas. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, continue taking out taziyas. Not because taziyas is right, but because for them that was the identification of being a Muslim. It was a perspective that he saw at that particular time. It was not a perspective that he would have written a masla or a fatwa on. Sometimes perspectives are different. The same thing about Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Kandilvi Rahmatullah Ali, one of the great scholars of Saharanpur Mazahir. He went one day to a village and he saw the village was locked. The village masjid was locked. And he went door to door and said, you are all Muslims in this village. Why is the masjid locked for so long? He went into the masjid and he saw that it was completely dusty. People haven't come into the masjid for years. So he said, what is going wrong with you? At least sometime namaz, Jummah, what is wrong? Nothing. So he came to realize that in some of the rural areas in India, Pakistan previously, and maybe even now also in certain very rural areas, people go according to the head of the village. So if he's a namazi, everyone will come to read namaz. If he doesn't read namaz, no one will read namaz. Everyone follows the leader. Right? So he said, he doesn't read namaz, so we're not reading namaz. So Imam Muzaffar Hussain Rahmatullah Ali went to go and see him and said, how can you not read namaz? And he gave him the virtue of namaz. So he said, Hazrat, I got few viewpoints, therefore I can't read namaz. Say, what it is? He said, I drink alcohol. Different immoral women come to me. And he said, above all, I just can't bear making wuzu. I can, even with all my faults, Maulana, I explained him, all right, even with your guna, go and read namaz. Inshallah, through the means of that, Allah will take you away from the guna and sin. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. So thereafter, he said, all right, even if I do that, I don't want to make wuzu. Now, what did Maulana Muzaffar Hussain rahmatullah alayhi go? And this is something that I heard not once, three times I heard the bayan again and again to say that I just... And he said, go and read namaz without wuzu. Go and read namaz without wuzu. It's a perspective. He saw a different perspective. He saw something that was not in a holy environment. So this person now, look at the other side. He started, he said, okay, Maulana gave me the permission to go, I'm going to go. And just before he was about to go, this thought came into his mind and he said, Ya Allah, this is the first time I'm going to the masjid in my life. How can I go without wuzu? And he went to make wuzu and he went to the masjid. Sometimes these perspectives, people see things in a different perspective. So these are situations with regard to why there's difference of opinion. Sometimes there's temperaments. Now what does it mean to all you and I? What does it mean to you and I as lay people? If there's different temperaments, whose temperament suits you, go and follow him. Don't make an argument. Don't make fitna. Sometimes try to understand people with regard to the perspectives that they have, why they choose certain ways and certain avenues. Right? Sometimes people try to understand people. To understand people doesn't mean you agree with them. Sometimes you're trying to understand people. There's a common mistake many people make. Unless you do not understand a person's background and train of thought, you cannot engage or provide effective solutions to his problems. Sometimes you engage people not because you agree with them. You want to engage them to understand where they are coming from, to be able to give them better guidance, to be able to tell them what is right. Until you don't understand where they are coming from, you will not be able to. So sometimes people differ because of the temperaments, sometimes because of the perspectives and what they see and what other people can't see. Now, what does it mean to you and I? The result of all this is, those whom you want to follow amongst the ulama, follow them, but don't create fitna. Don't speak bad about one another. Don't creating this whole particular situation that we find ourselves in, that we have spent so much time in this whole particular aspect. And not, I mean, the ulama will have the academic type of disputes from the Quran and Hadith. That is a particular type of field. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, argumentation of deen is only for the ulama. Argumentation and disputes and evidence with regard to deen is for the ulama. The lay people, you will follow those whom you have the greatest amount of trust in. If you follow someone and you feel that you want to follow him, then follow him. Don't go and speak bad about someone else. That is what you and I have to do. Now, the result of all this is, we are trying to score points with one against one another, against whom we feel that this is our sheikh or our alim. So we got to score points against someone else who has a different view. What happens is, let me tell you, the time that you are spent in getting even and scoring points, you could have better spent it by going ahead. You could have got better spent it by going ahead. The time invested in improving ourselves, cut down on time wasted in disapproving of others. Instead of now wasting your time in disapproving of others, talking bad about others, speaking bad about those people who are not right, you could have spent that time improving yourself and coming closer towards Almighty Allah. And the other aspect, in our time that we are spending in terms of this difference of opinion, while we are sitting and spending our time in this difference of opinion, look at the world around us. Look at the situation around us in South Africa. Let me give you two situations, and I won't go into it. I can give you one more than that. Right? Just look at what is happening in our own country. While we have tawakkul, and we will make dua, and we will make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant us peace, Allah Ta'ala grant us safety, Allah Ta'ala grant us security. But it is also part of our deen to be able to take necessary means to prevent yourself from what is happening. There is not one battle of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered into purely on the basis of tawakkul and didn't take any particular type of remedy and means to be able to face the challenges of that particular battle. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came into Badr, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam camped at one place. It was Habib ibn Mundhir radiallahu anhu, most probably one of the Sahaba, who came and said, "Ya Rasulullah, may I ask a question?" "Yes, O Habib, tell me, ask me." I mean, that's what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked me a question. "Ya Rasulullah, are you camping here because Allah told you, or are you camping here by your discretion?" "If Allah told you, I won't say anything." "Habib, I'm camping here because of my own discretion. I feel this is a good place." "Ya Rasulullah, if you are camping here on your discretion, then let me tell you, go and camp at that place. The reason is this is better for you to camp there." Nabi Sallam went to go and camp that other place. And later on, when the rain came, that place became more beneficial for the Muslims. And where the enemies were, it became more disadvantageous to them. When Nabi Karim Sallam came into the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Karim Sallam saw that there was an opening at the back from the Jabal al-Rumat. He put 50 archers there. He didn't say, "We're going to make tawakkul and we're going to go and fight." What are the situations in our country? We are in a situation now where, rightly or wrongly, and maybe because of political pressure and scoring political points, Indians, and because many of us are Indians, and I do believe, and I must say this, not all Muslims are Indians, because Allah has given Islam to the entire humanity. And whoever chooses Islam is to his benefit. We have done no favor to Islam. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِمَانِ. Allah has done you a favor by giving you hidayat. You have done no favor to Islam. Whether you are black, white, or Indian, you have done no favor to Islam by being a Muslim. Allah has favored you to become a Muslim. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِمَانِ. Right? However, having said that, many of the Muslims today are Indians. And today, Muslims are being, and Indians are being accused of being racist. Many people will say that it's not something that is true, not true, true, and Allah knows. I'm not going to go into that. Even the perception that Muslims can be racist is a tragedy of calamitous proportion. Even the perception that Muslims can be racist is a tragedy of calamitous proportion. Because if anything, the Nabi of Allah came to break down racism. Before it was trendy, before it was made mention of in the United Nations, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Kullukum min Adam wa Adamu min Turab." Each and every one of you is from Adam, and Adam alayhi salatu wassalam is from dust. La fadla li Arabiyyin ala Ajamiyyin. There is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab. And there is no superiority of the non-Arab over the Arab. There is no superiority of the white over the black. And there is no superiority of the black over the white, except on the basis of taqwa and piety. That Nabi that came with that message, the followers of that message must be perceived to be racist. But have we done anything about it? Because we are fighting about our difference of opinions. Have we tackled it? Have we been able to look at it? What are the repercussions? If we are regarded to be like that, we become soft targets. Have we been able to sit and talk about it? Have we been able to challenge it? That particular religion, that when Malcolm X, Haji Malik Shahbaz Ahmad, comes from America for Hajj, he believes, because of what he had seen, the racist tendencies of the white people of America, he firmly believes that you can never ever have cooperation with white people because of the racist tendencies that he has seen from them. And he comes for Hajj. with that belief. And when he comes for Hajj, he writes in his autobiography, and I want to, if you can't read his autobiography, read that portion of Hajj. He said, never in my wildest dream did I ever imagine that I could have seen a situation where the dark-skinned people of Africa and the blondest of blonde, who had blonde hair and blue eyes from the Scandinavian countries, would have been performing the same rites, eating from the same plates, living in the same tents, and performing the same rites, and making the same Hajj. In one way, I never thought that I would have seen that in my life until I came for Hajj, which is one of the symbols of Islam. And today, if we are perceived to be like that, do we take it as to be just lightly? Because we are busy scoring points over one another. Look at the aspect of what's happening in our crime in our communities. I'm not saying we must take the law in our own hands. But today, many, alhamdulillah, it gave me some pleasure to hear that here there is some sort of now focus and cooperation with regard to police forums and community policing and getting together. I mean, look at what is the situation. We're not saying you must take, but surely everyone must put his shoulder to the wheel to be able to say there must be neighborhood watch. Are we concerned with regard to what is happening to our neighbors? If there is something that is happening in our neighborhood, it's our responsibility to see that we play a role for the safety of our neighborhoods. And never mind anything else, this is a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I will conclude with this. One day there was a loud noise that emanated in Madinah Munawwara. People were afraid, where is this now loud noise emanating from? And they did not know what was happening. Everyone was very worried. What are we going to do? Where is this Lord now loud noise emanating? When they came out of the house, what sight greeted them? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on his horseback. Oh, people of Madinah, go and rest. I myself, as a Nabi of Allah, had gone to go and see where that source of noise was. And there is nothing to worry about. Go back into your homes. The Nabi Allah himself went out to go and see what was happening and where that noise was. This is just two examples I've given. Look at what is happening with regard to the land issue in our country. Let us look at what is happening with regard to the different voices that are coming. And we have a viewpoint with regard to land, but we have never been able to research it and come to tell people what Islam says about it. So at the end of the day, my dear respected brothers, to conclude with, let me say, I started off by saying Allah Ta'ala has created us differently, but yet Allah wants us to be one. Then one of the things that come up when we are one is how do we deal with the difference of opinion? I said that Allah has created us in different ways, different colors, different races. And part of different, Allah has created us with different capabilities. So there's going to be a difference of opinion with regard to our intellect and how we look at things. And if it is done within a limit, in the words of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mu'az Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, there will be no fitna if difference of opinion is done correctly. I gave you examples with regard to it. And one of the aspects with regard to us, when we don't do it correctly, we have become so obsessed with this that is taking us away from dealing with critical situations in our country, which only a blind person cannot see. It's impossible that we cannot see what is happening around us and not do something, or at least get together to try and do something, or at least have a concern to do something, or at least start talking about it to do something. But we can't, because we are obsessed with other things. May Allah give us a tawfiq of understanding. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت هذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم لا تؤذنا فإنك بنا عالم ولا تعذبنا فإنك علينا قادر يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين you have mercy upon us يا الله يا الله forgive our shortcomings يا الله يا الله we are very sinful يا الله we have committed all types of guna and sins يا الله we have committed sins openly and يا الله sometimes in broad daylight without worrying about you يا الله almost defiantly sometimes in the darkness of the night thinking you are not watching but you are aware of our deeds, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, our sins are many, Ya Allah, your forgiveness is even more than our sins. Ya Allah, deal with us in accordance with your forgiveness, not accordance with our doings, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us muhabbat and love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast upon Iman. Ya Allah, your Nabi had such great love for this ummah, Ya Allah. This ummah today is in different situations, in different parts of the world, facing different challenges. Sometimes it is persecuted, sometimes it has been slaughtered in places like Kashmir, Burma, Palestine, and other places. Sometimes where there is relative peace, Ya Allah, we are spending our energies against one another, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, have mercy upon this ummah. Ya Allah, bring this ummah together, Ya Allah. That you can concentrate on the objective of your beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, which was a propagation of truth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring us together and Ya Allah, create love and muhabbat amongst us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove misunderstandings amongst us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the ability to be torch bearers of Islam, Ya Allah, through the means of our conduct, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whoever is in any type of difficulty, individually or collectively, Ya Allah, remove the difficulty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us die with Iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and grant us Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, above all, Ya Allah, you always be happy with us, Ya Allah. Grant us your forgiveness and always protect us in all, in every given situation, Ya Allah. Never leave us without your help, your assistance, your protection and guidance. قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين.